Jack Germond is a political columnist for the Baltimore Sun. You may also know him from his appearances on TV, from the Today Show through the McLaughlin Group to Inside Washington, where he's a regular panelist. Jack Germond has been covering politics for 40 years now and has lived to tell the tale. In fact, several of them in his new book, Fat Man in the Middle Seat. Today he's sitting in our studio. Welcome, Jack. It's nice to meet you.
It's nice to be here, Lynn.
You've been covering politics for 40 years now. Does anything surprise you anymore?
I guess I'm sort of in a continued state of amazement that doesn't get any better than it keeps getting worse, and the American people keep falling for the worst stuff.
You know? What do you mean worse?
Well, it's increasingly mindless, and the public seems to buy into it. I mean, there's more and more public reacting to those short sound bites on television, to impressions that are not founded in fact. You know, voters seem to be incapable of making two-step decisions, and we in the press seem to be incapable of explaining things, so they will.
Let me ask you, you say that you like politicians. I mean, and politicians have really become the butt of a lot of jokes. They're often at the receiving end of sarcasm. Why do you like them?
I like them because I have to stipulate, obviously, that there's a disclaimer that there are a lot of knaves and poltroons who are politicians, and I have no use for them, and a lot of venal people. But, by and large, I find that, first of all, most politicians have something, some public purpose they want to accomplish. They're not greedy, as people think they are. Most of them can make more money doing something else. You may not agree with their public purpose, but they have one. That's number one. Number two, I admire the fact that they put themselves on the line, because it's very difficult to be election night to sit there when you think you ought to win 100% of the vote and you only get 51%. And every second person is against you. And I admire them because they have a sort of objective mind. You always know what they want. And what they want is the next best job, more power. And they're good company. I mean, there's a lot of them. The trouble is there are fewer that are good company these days than there used to be. But maybe I have higher standards for good company, too.
How do you think they have changed?
They've become more programmed, less spontaneous, less relaxed. You know what happens? They have all this money, and one of the things they use it for is hiring endless consultants. And I think Steve Forbes has, you know, 8 or 10 who paid $10,000 a month each, you know, doing this. And these people come and they tell you what the focus groups in the polls show. And the candidate then devises some soundbite language that will get him on television saying what he needs to say to appeal to people. And won't never show any spontaneity. And they don't disagree with people. Bob Kennedy in 1968 used to go around to college campuses and say to the college students, you don't deserve your draft deferments because the poor kids are fighting the war for you. That was a very unpopular position for those kids. I can't imagine anybody doing that today. Possibly John McCain, possibly. But except for him and possibly Bill Bradley, but possibly John McCain and Bradley, I can't imagine anybody doing that. That's the politicians are supposed to lead. And playing politics is also another expression for leading. And the way you lead is you take a position, and then you go to your voters and you say, here's why I think this is the right thing to do, and I'm going to do it this way.
When you covered candidates, though, for various offices, mayor, governor, Congress, right, president, you say you don't do this checklist of where they stand on the issues. So then what do you look for?
I try to look to see what kind of people they are. What kind of people they are, what kind of people they have around them. Checklists of issues are nonsense. I mean, that is a standard, you know, that's the League of Women Voters, you know. Well, I don't want to insult the ladies in the ground gripper shoes, but the fact of the matter is you cannot anticipate the issues that a president is going to deal with. And there may be a few litmus test issues you use, yes. I mean, I would have a hard time voting for a candidate who was not pro-choice because I believe in abortion rights. And the civil rights issues of the 60s were clearly up and down litmus test issues with me and other people. I think the war in Vietnam became one in the 70s. But most of this business of checking off checklists of issues tells you nothing. What you really ought to see is who the people are, what they're like. And the people around them is important. I mean, there are people I've liked, politicians I've liked, that I couldn't vote for because I didn't like the people around them.
You have to know who's running the campaign, who's got the candidate's ear.
And does the candidate ever do anything by himself? Is he always, you know, I mean, I'm very hard on my book on George Bush because he ran a vicious campaign against Michael Dukakis. And after the campaign, my partner and I, Jules Lichter, were doing a book on the campaign. We're talking to Roger Ailes and Lee Atwater about the campaign. And they kept saying, we had to talk the candidate into doing this. We asked him to do this. He didn't want to do it, but we talked him into it. And after he did this a while, I interrupted. I said, you know, the point is, he always did it, right? That's true, he did.
Yeah. Who do you write for?
I guess I write mostly for political junkies.
I was wondering about that, because it tends to be other political junkies and journalists that read. It strikes me that now most of the electorate's getting their information from broadcast media and, of course, now the web, for columns. So who's reading you?
Yeah, I think it's mostly, it's a broader field, it's an odd field. The reason I know that is one place I go where I'm known from the column being in the paper is in Baltimore. And people know me there from the column, not from being on television, because I'm not on television there. And I go to Baltimore, I go to the racetrack, and people come up and talk to me about my column. And I love it, because they're readers. And these are horse players. I mean, they're not political
they
people.
They put aside the racing form to read them.
And that's always an encouraging thing to me.
Yeah.
You know, but we don't write for very many people.
A lot of people know you from the McLaughlin Group.
Yeah, I know. It's awful, huh?
What is the deal with that program? Now, people watch it. People make fun of it. It feels like it's a car wreck, that it's painful, but you can't turn away.
Well, for a while, it wasn't quite as dominated by the moderators as it is today. I mean, when Novak and I and Buchanan and Kondracki started on that program, we were consulted every week about what the issue should be. And we actually had a little input. It got to be worse and worse. I got angry. I quit finally, not because of what was going on the air. It was off the air. I could say this. I've said it to him. I couldn't deal with John. So I quit. I would have loved the luxury of not being able to do it, not having to do it.
Yeah.
But I had to do television of some form because that was the way I made it, a decent living, and didn't have to be an editor. Otherwise, I would have had to be an editor and sit in an office and whine and complain and at my reporters, and I didn't want to do that.
Are you covering this campaign
pretty
much in the same way that you've covered it for the covered campaigns for the last 40 years?
I'm getting further away from paying attention to the events of the day driven by the candidate and more attention to the... And I've always done this, but I'm doing it a lot more to the voter end of it, talking to more voters than the other. I'm using the town of Milford, New Hampshire. I got there several days, talked to some of the same people, talked to some different people, see how the universe of people interested in the primary is widening, rippling out. And... some media event. I don't care what they say at the town hall because it's going to be on television.
Any regrets after 40 years?
It's been a great way to make a living, and I love it. And I've not had to sell anything. I mean, I have regrets, sure, but I don't dwell on. I have a lot of horses I wish I'd not had on. That's a real regret.
Jack Germond is a political columnist for the Baltimore Sun and a regular panelist on Inside Washington. His new book is called Fat Man in the Middle Seat, 40 Years of Covering Politics. It's published by Random House. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.